Suhurlekha, Letter to a Friend, is an Indian scripture written by Nagarjuna around 1st century CE. He wrote this celebrated as a letter of advice to his friend King Gautamiputra Satavahana. This advice gives a concise and comprehensive introduction to the entire path and practice of Buddhism. It guides both householders and the ordained onto the path leading to liberation and enlightenment. The instructions are of special interest to those who wish to take up spiritual activity while continuing to live and work in society. They are meant to convey the whole meaning of the Dharma to the ordinary person in a language and style that are easy to understand. Despite its short length, it covers the whole Mahayana Buddhism path with unusual clarity and memorable imagery. Thus, it is widely quoted by Tibet's great masters and scholars in the many commentaries they have written on the Buddhist path. Letter from a Friend, composed by Nagarjuna Bodhisattva for King Satakarni. Number 1. King Satakarni should realize the many faults associated with birth and death's bitter afflictions. Everyone is covered over and obstructed by ignorance. I wish, for their sakes, to allow benefit to flourish. Number 2. Just as when an image of the Buddha, made by carving or painting, beheld by the wise, appropriately inspires them to reverence. Just so, as I rely on the Tathagata to explain right Dharma, the great king too should be inspired to deep faith and acceptance. Number 3. Although you may have previously heard the words of the Muni, if you now listen and absorb them, your discernment shall increase. This is comparable to a lotus pool's appearance of purity. When moonlight falls upon it, it shines forth ever more radiantly. Number 4. The Buddha declared that one should cultivate the 6 recollections, namely the 3 jewels, giving, moral virtue, and the heavens, while cultivating 10 good deeds, purifying 3 types of karma, and abandoning intoxicants as well as wrong livelihood. Number 5. Observing that one's physical life and wealth swiftly deteriorate, one should give fields of merit and rescue the poor and destitute. Giving is unmatched in its durability. It is the foremost among all of one's close companions. Number 6. Diligently cultivate pure precepts to be rid of faults and defilements. Also, do not aspire to abide in any of the realms of existence. Just as the great earth supports the birth of many creatures, so too, in like fashion, do moral precepts produce all forms of good. Cultivate gentle harmony with patience, relinquishing hatefulness, and the Buddha proclaimed this practice as the most superior. In like fashion, develop vigor as well as dhyana and wisdom. By perfecting these 6 practices, one step beyond birth and death. Number eight, if one is able as a householder to show filial respect for one's parents, then this in itself serves as a supreme field for growth of merit. In this present life, a great reputation will spread afar, while future karmic rewards from this merit become incalculable. Number 9. Killing, stealing, sexual relations, deception, indulging intoxicants, sleeping in ornate beds, high and abroad, and using perfumes, singing, attending performances, and eating past the correct time, it is fitting to abandon the many such unwholesome acts. If one cultivates these moral precepts, even for a short time, one is surely destined for celestial happiness and ascent to nirvana. Number 10. Miserliness, hatefulness, covetousness, lust, flattery, and falseness, deceptiveness, inverted views, and indolence. The many sorts of evil and unwholesome dharmas such as these are such as the great king should reflect upon and swiftly cast off. As for handsomeness, honorable caste, and the five objects of desire, one should realize those things are as vulnerable to ruin as sea foam. Don't rely on such non-durable dharmas as these, for arrogantly indulging them generates all manner of sufferings. If one wishes to develop goodness and gain the sweet dew ambrosia, one should abandon them just as one would cast aside poison. Number 12. When able to diligently dispensing with hatefulness and arrogance, this compares to when clouds disperse, revealing the autumn moon. Such changes are like those of Angulimala and Sudarandanda, or like that of Sama, who revealed of even the worthies and Aryas. The Tathagata stated that there are three types of discourse: that appealing to the mind, the truthful, and that which is false. Speech appealing to the mind is like flowers. The true was like honey, and the false is base evil and comparable to fecal filth. One should cultivate the first two kinds of speech and, as is fitting, quickly cut off whatever is false. Number 14. The dharmas involving leaving or proceeding into brilliance are such as the king should distinguish and carefully contemplate. One should cultivate the two leading forth into brilliance. Those leading into delusions, darkness should be swiftly abandoned. Number 15. Just as with the four states found in ripening of a mango, the difficulty of making distinctions among people is much the same. One should resort to wisdom and deep contemplative investigation. It may be fitting to draw near the genuinely worthy and good. Number 16. Although one may behold an extremely beautiful and stately woman, no one should reflect on her as with one's mother, sister, or daughter. If one generates lustful and defiled thoughts, one should cultivate correctly the contemplation of impurity. Number 17. If such thoughts become resistive, it is fitting to control them, just as one would do in guarding one's life or precious jewels. If desire-ridden thoughts arise, one should be alarmed, just as one feels fear encountering drawn swords or dreadful beasts. Number 18. Desire is as devoid of beneficial aspects of an enemy or poison. Such a declaration was uttered by the Muni himself. Entrapment in cycle birth and death is worse than being imprisoned. Thus, one should diligently cultivate the practices seeking liberation. Number 19. The six sense bases become resistive and run to their objective realms. One should restrain them. One must not be negligent in this. If one is able to restrain the sense faculties in this manner, this is superior to a valiant general crushing of a strong enemy. This body's impurity flow forth from nine openings, doing so ceaselessly like rivers flowing out to the sea. A thin skin hides this, providing the appearance of purity. Just as when someone puts on necklaces for personal adornment, the wise even then, nonetheless, distinguish clearly and realizing its deceptiveness, bring forth renunciation. Number 21. As when one with an itching disease approaches flames for relief, although there is an initial brief pleasure, suffering later increases. So too it is with lust-ridden thoughts. Though one is first blissfully attached, the end brings much trouble. Number 22. If one observes the body's true character, it is all seen as impure. Just then contemplate its emptiness and absence of a self. If one is able to cultivate the practice of this contemplation among all of the beneficial endeavors, this is the most superior. Number 23. Though one possesses fine physical form, noble birth, and learning, if he is bereft of moral virtue and wisdom, he is just like an animal. Though one is homely, low-born, and of little learning or experience, If able to embody moral virtue and wisdom, he is a superior person. Number 24. No one is able to avoid the 8 dharmas of gain, loss, and so forth. By eliminating their influence, one becomes truly incomparable. As for any Sarmana or Brahmin, one's father or mother, one's wife, child, or retinue. Number 25. Do not, influenced by their ideas or words, commit any extensively unwholesome dharma contravening deeds. If you generate any sort of transgression on behalf of these or others, you alone must endure the immense future suffering this entails. Number 26. Now doing many evil deeds does not mean immediate retribution. It's not like crossing swords and thereupon receiving injurious cuts. Only starting at the point of death are signs of retribution revealed. Afterward, one falls into the hells and is then assailed by sufferings. Number 27. Faith, morality, giving, learning, wisdom, shame, dread of blame, these 7 dharmas are the wealth of the Aryas. The Muni declared them to be genuine and incomparable, far surpassing the many precious jewels found in the world. Great king, if one accumulates the superior form of wealth, he too may before long realize the fruits of the Bodhi Mandala. Number 28. Gambling, inebriation, fondness for musical entertainments, unrestrained indulgence in indolence, consorting with bad friends, and rousing about creating disturbances at inappropriate times, these 6 dharmas should be abandoned. Number 29. Being easily satisfied is the most supreme of all forms of wealth. Words of this sort were uttered by the world-honored one. When easily satisfied, though poor, one still qualifies as wealthy. When rich, if one has many desires, this still amounts to poverty. If one lives a life of abundant wealth, this increases one's sufferings, just as many-headed dragons suffered an increased amount of pain. Number 30. One should contemplate even exquisite flavors as like toxic medicines, on which one sprinkles the water of wisdom to make them pure. Although one should eat for the sake of ensuring survival of this body, do not crave food's form or flavor, or let it lead to pretentiousness. Number 31. One should generate renunciation for the defilement of the desires, and should diligently seek the unsurpassed path to nirvana. One should train and regulate this body in a way securing its welfare. Afterwards, it is fitting to cultivate their abstinence right. Number 32. A single night is divided into 5 periods. In 2 of them, one should allow oneself to sleep. Contemplate birth and death at night's beginning, middle, and end. Diligence in seeking liberation is fitting. Do not let time pass emptily. Number 33. One should cultivate the 4 immeasurables, meditative absorptions. These are renowned for opening the path of Brahma heavens. If one focuses mindfulness on the 4 dhyanas mind states, at life's end, one will certainly be reborn in those celestial abodes. Number 34. All which transpires in conditioned existence is impermanent. Suffering empty in inherent existence, destructible, non-durable, devoid of self, devoid of bliss, and impure. Contemplations of all such concepts serve as counteract dharmas. Number 35. If one develops contemplations on these gateways to dharma, in the future, he will always abide in esteemed and powerful stations. As for 5 precepts, practice, and severance of those 5 wrong deeds, the great king should be all the more mindful of these. Number 36. Just as a little salt placed in the Ganges River, it is unable to make its waters salty. So too, when the minor evil encounters abundant goodness, its dispersion and dilution is much the same. Number 37. If the five erroneous deeds increase, they steal away one's merit. The king should do away with them, preventing them from growing. The five root faculties of faith and such are sources of much good. It is these one should cultivate and allow to develop abundantly. Number 38. The eight sufferings of birth and such are constant in their blazing. With the waters of wisdom, one should douse and extinguish them. Whether one desires to strive for heavenly bliss or for nirvana, one must diligently cultivate right knowledge and views. Though possessing sharp intelligence, if one enters erroneous paths, one's sublime qualities will disappear forever and leave not a trace. The four types of interviews do harm to every form of goodness. Therefore, one must contemplate them and prevent their arising. Number 40. The Buddha has declared that form is not self, self is not form. There is no form in a self, and there is no self in form. These four ideas are conceived in relation to the form aggregate. Any link of a self to other aggregates is in all respects the same. These 20 ideas are inverted views. If one can cut them off entirely, this is the most superior insight. Number 41. Those dharmas arose neither spontaneously nor primordially. We're not created by the Isvara God, and we're not created by time. They have all risen through ignorance, craving in karmic reaction. Absent in any specific cause or condition, they are then destroyed. Great King, having realized the nature of such causes, one should light wisdom's lamp to dispel darkness of ignorance. Number 42. Viewing body as self, clinging to prohibitions, the fetter of doubt. These three can block the path to freedom from outflow impurities. If the king destroys them, thus causing them to despair, the Arya's dharma of liberation will then manifest. Number 43. As when blind men inquire about the appearance of bodies of water, but 100,000 myriad kalpas can never comprehend it, so too it is with the striving for nirvana. That realization is gained only after one's own diligent efforts. Number 44. If one wished to rely upon one's retinue or advisors as means to gain it, this would be extremely difficult to bring about. Therefore, the great king should take up the practice vigorously. Then he will subsequently be able to realize quiescent cessations. Number 45. Implement moral virtue. Much learning and dhyana concentration. Through these, one gradually draws close to the four truths. The ruler among men should therefore cultivate wisdom's clarity and practice these three dharmas through which to seek liberation. If one is able to cultivate the most supreme of vehicles, then one will thereby subsume all other forms of goodness. Number 46. The great king should contemplate the body mindfulness dharmas. The world-honored one described them as the path to purification. If one is without mindfulness, one increases unwholesome ideas. Therefore, it is only fitting that one should diligently cultivate this. This human life is brief, hurried, and not retained for long. It is like a water bubble which one arisen is straightaway destroyed. Even as one exhales and then inhales, and even during sleep, In each instant, it constantly retreats, always going toward ruination. Number 48. It will not be long before it will be worn down and destroyed. Whereupon skin and flesh smell rot and extremely loathsome. It turns stagnant blood blue, bloats fissures, and spills pus and blood. It is eaten at by worms until it becomes withered and dried up. The body and head hair, nails and teeth each separate and scatter. Blown by wind, baked by sun, it slowly dries and disappears entirely. Number 49. One should realize that this body is not solid or durable. It is a place where the many forms of suffering assemble together. Therefore the worthies, the Aryas, and all the wise people contemplate these faults and thus are moved to renounce it. Number 50. Mount Sumeru, the great seas, and the rivers as well, will all be melted and dried up when the seven suns shine all at once. If even such durable phenomena as those are utterly destroyed, how much the more must that be true of this ever so fragile body? Number 51. Once impermanence arrives, one is beyond rescue or protection. It cannot be relied upon, nor can one find any means of escaping it. Therefore, the great king should always and truly contemplate this, swiftly generate renunciation, and seek out the supreme Dharma. Number 52. The human body is so rarely gained and the Dharma so rarely heard that meeting them is as rare as a blind turtle's head happening to poke up in a floating wooden yoke. Having obtained a human body in such rare circumstances as these, it is only right that one diligently obey the dictates of right Dharma. To gain this marvelous body and yet commit all manner of evil deeds is analogous to filling up a jeweled vessel with all sorts of poison. Having been born in a central land and met a good spiritual friend, one should focus the mind, regenerate, resolve, and initiate right vows. Number 54. Through long sowing merit and equipping himself with the faculties, the king is now able to completely fulfill these many forms of good. If one is also able to draw close to a man of vision and knowledge, the Buddha declared that this is the basis of pure Brahman conduct.